Our scripture this morning is Joshua 24, 1-3a, 14-25. When Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus say the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Narah, lived beyond the uprits and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offsprings many. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good." And the people said to Joshua, "No, we will serve the Lord." Then Joshua said to the people, "You are witness against yourself that you have chosen the Lord to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." The people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and him we will obey." Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made status and ordinances for them at Shechem. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We are turning to the word from Jesus Christ to the Christians, to the people. And it is our tradition to stand for the gospel if you are able and comfortable doing so. John said, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for whoever is not against us is for us." When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. But the Samaritans did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. And then they went on to another village. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What a busy morning, and it's almost noon. So I have to preach this 45-minute sermon in 3 minutes. Pray for me. Pray for me. A word of note. Our kids may have heard or been aware of concerns about Sutherland, Texas, about an attack in a church. We need to be aware if they are afraid. We need to think about letting them express concerns. What happened in Sutherland appears to have been a family dispute. And in general, attacks in houses of worship are very, very rare. But we want our kids to feel safe, so talk to them, be aware, and be open. How about Matthew? Can we talk about Matthew for a minute? What an interesting passage. Hey, Lord, there's a guy over there, and he's doing Christian-type things, but he's not one of us. Kick him out. Jesus looks at him and says, if he's not against us, he's for us. How often do we become so denominationally loyal or so brand loyal that we forget who's working together and who's not? There are 1,000 ways we can divide ourselves up. I could take a few minutes and I bet I could divide every one of us from every other over some sets of issues. Jesus is working the other way. Jesus is about bringing us together, and we need to remember that. There are plenty of issues in the public forum dividing us. Don't let that be a piece of who and what we are about. And what about that Samaritan village that did not welcome Jesus? It's an allusion to an Old Testament story. There was a village that didn't welcome, was it Elijah? And they called fire and flame down upon the people because they were not showing hospitality. Now you know hospitality is the center of who and what we are about. Hospitality is central to the Bible. Hospitality needs to be our middle name. And they were not hospitable, and the response in the Old Testament was fire and destruction. But Jesus rebukes the disciples. What was one way of living for Old Testament peoples is not the same as it is for us today. We are growing and learning. We are changing. We are maturing. We are becoming better Christians. I believe that. We can have that conversation anytime you want, because we are on a journey. We are moving on to perfection, yes? You know, every time I ask that, it's kind of a milquetoast response on that. Are we moving on to perfection? Yes. Some of us are getting there faster than others. But I don't want to pick it out. I won't point any fingers. They would all be pointing at me, would they not? How shall we be about responding to people who are inhospitable? Christ's message out of that gospel lesson is very clear. We're not winning them over with force. We're not winning them over with threats. We're not making them fearful so that they will follow. We will win hearts heart to heart. We will love our way to success. Think about what's happening. Think about that journey that continues even today. Think about the growth of Christ's love and how it's impacting the world and continues to do so. Can I jump? Let's talk a little bit about Veterans Day. Today, it's not on the liturgical calendar. Today is technically the 23rd Sunday of Pentecost. How many of you would rather celebrate the 23rd Sunday of Pentecost? It doesn't really leap out at one, does it? Some churches do not do anything with Veterans Day. Some churches bypass the day because it's a dangerous and controversial place to go. So here is your pastor walking into that segment. Fools Rush In, I think, is the name of the hymn. Will you rush in with me? Let's walk into this minefield. Let's walk into this controversy, because I think maybe it's time. Now, we need to acknowledge, as we said in this setting, that this is a Christian setting. This is about worship and about following the Lord God and about the leader, my boss, who is the Prince of Peace. So we acknowledge veterans and veterans' families and the sacrifices and the gifts and graces and all of that without glorifying war, without having to say, this is part of what we do. King David, do you recall King David? 2 Samuel begins, it says, in the spring of the year when good kings go off to war, King David stayed home. That's when he sees Bathsheba and the whole David and Bathsheba, and he sees her and she's married, but he seduces her and it gets ugly from there. But in that day and age, war was a part of the yearly tradition. It was a way of prosperity and a way of life. And we are not that people anymore. The recent video series by Ken Burns on Vietnam, we've talked a little bit about it. And I have been talking to various veterans who are in the midst of that conflict. I recall going with my mom to visit a woman, and she chatted with the woman for a while. She said, here, you wait in the car, which was rare. But she chatted with the woman on her front porch for a moment. I said, she doesn't look very healthy. She looks like she's sick. Is she sick, Mom? And she started the car and she says, no, but her son's in Vietnam. And I remember then realizing the cost to families. The ultimate cost, certainly, to those who serve, but costs to families as well. And I've been hearing stories, and a couple of people shared with me that they had friends who watched the series, and they said they'd wish they hadn't watched it. It had opened old wounds and brought back memories that they did not want to think and remember. And I heard of others who watched it and found moments of relief, transcendence, of resolution. In general, we have not talked about it in the churches or in our society. Since those 70s, it's been a subject that we have very carefully not discussed between us. We might sit next to someone and not know that they've served, or that they've been a part of, or that they've protested against, because we're afraid that those divisions might come to light and that there might be animosity between us. And so there's been that division amongst the body. I have a cousin, and his family will have nothing to do with him anymore. He was in Vietnam and came back with demons of the mind. I do not have the skills or gifts and graces to work with him, but I can pray. And I can understand why he has those demons. And so I might give him a little bit of rope. That's not the right phrase. I might be a little more patient with him. How's that sound? We are Christians, and this Christian church is a church about confession and forgiveness. And we need to be that church, and we can be that church. And I believe our nation is at a place where we are gradually beginning to face some of the divisions around a war 30 years ago. 60,000 Americans died in that war. Over 1 million Vietnamese, North and South Vietnamese, died in that war. There's this fellow, Jim Knotts. He's the president and CEO of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund. He said, we want them to help educate the next generation so that young people understand the real costs of war. Not in politics, but in human lives. That's a lesson to learn. That's a message to share. That's a place that we can go, and that's a way that we can deal with that and talk about that and be in the midst of that. I don't remember what brought the subject up. My dad didn't talk much about his military experience. It was the Korean conflict. He didn't end up on the Korean Peninsula. He ended up in Japan post-World War II. And he saw Hiroshima, Nagasaki. And that's how he taught me to pronounce them. Is that closer, Hiromi? Hiroshima? Our Americanization of things sometimes is a little bit strange. But he didn't say much. And that generation didn't say much. They saw things and carried loads that they didn't share a lot. But he said once, he said, the draft was not a bad thing. He said, here I was a kid from New Jersey. And I got drafted, and he said, I was alongside this Cajun from Louisiana, and this Texan, and this kid from California, and this cowboy from Montana. All of this diversity shoved together, and we didn't really like each other much. And we didn't have much in common. Mark's over here cracking up. And you know what? The Army didn't care. The Army said, you will figure out how to get along. You will work together. You will build bonds. Another family. What was the TV series Band of Brothers? What an amazing video series there. So the draft helped people realize the diversity. Mike Summerall intimated a little bit about that at our conference. Well, who did we have, Mike? We had the Koreans. They're from Korea. That was a joke. Help me. The Korean church, the Simpson, which is African-American church, First Aurora, which is Tongan church, and that was fun because they started singing and the Tongans from Burns started singing with them, and the rest of us Palangi are all like, well, here we go again. We don't know what they're saying about us. And that diversity of body. And I turned to Paul Kotke, our district superintendent, and I said, is there any other group in the entire Rocky Mountain Conference as diverse as this? He said, no. He said, we take the prize. We're the closest. He didn't say this. This is what I'm saying. God created diversity, and we were getting the closest to being just about right. It was pretty awesome to gather. And that diversity forcing people to serve together. Willie, I know you're serving now, and I bet you have a diverse group of people that you serve with. Tell them hello for us and tell them thank you. And we celebrate that, and we celebrate that ability, and maybe there's something there that needs to happen about helping us build bridges and cross over. I'm a little lost because I jumped around in my sermon, so have I talked about that? I did. Today's Wars. There are a couple series on TV. There are a couple of movies out. American Sniper. Hurt Locker. About some of the current conflicts that are going on. There are several more. And each time I watch one, I am just stopped and aware of how much the psychic toll is to those serving. You might have many coming back wounded, some that don't come back, and we pray and lift families. Some who come back wounded of body, and we pray for them and their families. Some who come back but broken of mind or of spirit or of psyche. And those we need to pray for as well. How can we be about offering Christ? We need to do that. It pains me that we have people being injured now. Someday the day will come when we are not at war and we are not injuring people and we are not injuring our soldiers anymore. The day will come. May God grant it be so. Jesus said there will always be wars and rumors of wars, and that frustrates me to no end. But it's kind of like that thing about moving on to perfection. Are we moving on to perfection? Has anybody gotten there? Dang. But this thing about war and peace, maybe that's the same sort of thing. We can keep moving in that direction and learning about that and learning how not to be. And I hear the opposite. Saudi Arabia and Iran now, inflammatory rhetoric. North Vietnam, or not North Vietnam. Thank you. Was that a Freudian slip? Wars and rumors of war and rattling of sabers. And we have to think about other ways of building the world. We have weapons that are much too big to yield. And we need to think about other ways to be in the world. So we gather here in this place of worship, this house of the Prince of Peace. We gather here in worship of the one family, the kingdom of God. And we turn and acknowledge Christ, and we listen to what Joshua was about. Here was Joshua and the people, and they're coming into a land of peoples who had their own gods. And Joshua knew it would be a temptation to adopt the gods of the land you enter, and that there were other gods to worship and other ways to be less than faithful to the Lord. Will you serve the Lord? He says to them. And he said, we will. And he says to them, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve. And they responded, we are witnesses. Joshua said, put away your other gods that are among you. Put away all those other things and make them secondary to our worship of our Lord God. Incline your heart to the Lord. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve and obey. That's a good time to quit. Welcome to worship in the gathering of our Lord God. This place of worship where we acknowledge the kingdom of God, the Almighty Lord, the Prince of Peace, a family that can unite this world. God, come among us. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing.